This Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you and welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, the private healthcare sector has won the first round in its legal battle against the NHI, and South Africa's economic outlook has worsened with two agencies cutting their 2025 growth forecast for the country. The economist Waldo Krichel also talks about the danger of uncertainty within the global and local economy. In international business news, the UK and India have struck a major trade agreement aimed at boosting economic ties. In investment news, Stanlib is looking to expand its presence in East Africa, and we'll check in with Chris Hutting from the Center for Risk Analysis to talk about, among others, the South African budget number 3.
A look now at local business news.
The private healthcare sector has won the first round in its legal battle against South Africa's National Health Insurance Act. The Gauteng High Court has ruled that the Board of Healthcare Funders and the South African Private Practitioners Forum may proceed with their legal challenge. They argue President Ramaphosa signed the bill into law in May 2024, just before the national election, despite serious concerns raised about funding. The court ruled the president's decision is reviewable and ordered him to submit the record of what led to his decision to sign the act within 10 days. The case questions both the timing and the financial viability of the NHI legislation. The North Gauteng High Court has reserved judgment in a case brought by the DA to challenge the constitutionality of the Employment Equity Amendment Act. The amendment law introduces race and gender-based targets for various sectors and is expected to come into effect in September. The DA argues that the law threatens jobs and economic growth. And South Africa's economic outlook has worsened, with Moody's and the Bureau for Economic Research both cutting their 2025 growth forecast for the country to just 1.5%. This dashes hopes of achieving President Ramaphosa's 3% GDP growth target set after the formation of the Government of National Unity. Moody's attributes the cut to a global slowdown and rising policy uncertainty, while the BER cites domestic political instability and U.S. trade tensions, including President Trump's 10% universal tariff. Disputes within the Government of National Unity have already led to two failed budget proposals, with a third attempt now due on May 21st. Analysts warn that South Africa's sluggish growth threatens progress on job creation and economic reform. We now have the President of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Waldo Krichel, on the line with us. Waldo, why is uncertainty within the global and local economic markets so bad?
The concern is with President Trump's tariffs will raise the price of imported goods in the US, reducing consumer spending, and that uncertainty around the tariffs will dampen investment. Altogether, this could lead to a recession. The latest data show that their economy contracted by 0.3% in the first quarter. There was a large increase in imports during that period, and the media interpreted this as the cause of the slowdown in growth. Noah Smith gives a good explanation that it is not that simple. The increase in imports should show up either in spending or in inventories, but it doesn't. This might be due to measurement error, since imports are measured more accurately than inventories. The data will still be revised. If the increase in imports caused companies to purchase fewer American-made products, that would indeed have an impact on economic growth. Still, the increase in imports point to a strong demand in their economy. All in all, we'll have to wait and see what the next quarter's data looks like. Their most recent April employment figures, however, paint a picture of an economy that is still performing very well. In South Africa, the high-frequency indicators are unclear. APSA and the Bureau's Purchasing Managers Index was in contractionary territory for the sixth consecutive month in April. The sub-index for expected business conditions over the next 6 months turned negative for the first time since November. The purchasing managers feel that demand is weak. In contrast, domestic sales of new vehicles surprised again. In April, they were 11.9% higher than the previous year. If it seems that like economic growth is losing momentum, much of it has to do with uncertainty. Uncertainty increases the option value of waiting when it comes to spending and investment plans. We can't do much about international uncertainty, but the budget's VAT debacle and the pressure that it placed on the GNU created unnecessary uncertainty. It would benefit the ANC to remember that the positive reaction to the GNU and the rise in business confidence was based on the hope that market-friendly reforms would accelerate. When the GNU is thrown into doubt, investors immediately worry about the process. We need optimism to stimulate investment, which leads to growth and further investment and more growth.
Thanks very much, Professor Waldo Krichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Krichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
The UK and India have struck major trade agreements aimed at boosting economic ties. The deal, which took 3 years to finalise, will ease exports of UK products like whisky and cars to India while lowering tariffs on Indian clothing and footwear. Prime Minister Keir Starmer says that it's a win for both the British economy and local businesses. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi calls it a milestone for growth and innovation. Although immigration policies remain unchanged, officials estimate the pact could increase bilateral trade by over 25 billion pounds annually by 2040. Full implementation may take up to a year.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
Stanlib, South Africa's second largest asset manager, is looking to expand its presence in East Africa as it seeks to tap into the continent's fastest growing region. Chief Executive Officer Derek Msibi says the firm plans to strengthen its operations in Kenya and Uganda, both of which were launched in the past 2 years. He says in Kenya, if you're not among the top six asset managers, you're going to struggle. He noted that it could take up to 3 years for Stanlib's Kenyan unit, currently ranked around 13th, to reach that level. Kenya's top six fund managers dominate the market, controlling 97% of assets under management, which totaled nearly 13 billion rand at the end of last year. Before we say goodbye, we're joined by the head of policy analysis at the Center for Risk Analysis, Chris Hutton. Chris, thanks for joining us. Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana will present his third budget to South Africa on the 21st of May. What do you think will be the outcome for the country with a more realistic budget without the proposed VAT increase?
South Africa will have its third proposed budget in 2025 when Finance Minister Godongwana presents said budget on the 21st of May. In terms of the best outcome for South Africa will be if National Treasury is more realistic in its assessments of things like growth and debt, but also if we see different policy preferences in terms of support for state-owned entities and other government-related entities where it shows fiscal responsibility. Also, in terms of where the government of national unity is, it'll be interesting if the budget shows anything in terms of spending priorities to see whether things are really changing in the GNU or whether things are still going to remain largely the same.
The close three-way ties between the ANC, cellular company MTN, and Iran could pose a significant risk to South Africa's relationship with the United States. What exactly is the relationship between MTN and Iran, and how does it impact South Africa?
Regarding the possible relationship and implications of such a relationship on South Africa-US relations. Currently in the US, and a few court cases are underway in the US and in South Africa. And in these cases, it is alleged that MTN bribed Iranian officials, helping foreign terrorist organizations obtain US technologies and promised to procure military equipment for Iran. If these allegations are tested and proven to have a basis behind them, this could have implications for the ANC and for the South African government. Should the cases establish that there was indeed corruption or support for terrorist organizations in the relationship between MTN, the ANC, and Iran, this would very likely lead to the US imposing sanctions on MTN, implicated ANC officials, and potentially on South Africa itself.
Something that was in the news lately is U.S. President Donald Trump's first 100 days of his second term. There were some positives and some negatives. Can you elaborate?
U.S. President Donald Trump has gotten out of the blocks very quickly in his first 100 days. He has had the most active first 100 days of any president. He has issued more executive orders than any other president. He has delivered on a range of campaign promises, including slashing DEI programs and retaliating against his opponents. In terms of the economy and trade, President Trump has also imposed huge U.S. import tariffs across the board. He has also strengthened his grip on the Republican Party. He has received little pushback from the party in terms of his policies in Congress. In terms of the way forward, we see that impact of the tariffs on the U.S. economy has been especially negative, where the U.S. economy contracted by 0.3% in the first quarter of this year. So should the economic situation become more difficult, and also should the debt issue not be resolved by President Trump and his colleagues, that will limit what they are able to do in terms of reforms and other policy priorities.
And that was Chris Hutton from the Center for Risk Analysis. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.